Welcome to Hope It's Here. My name is Greg Horn. You know, there's a lot of things that are overrated in life, but hope is not one of them. I've been praying today that life would give you an injection of hope like you've never had before. And one of the main things that I've seen people lose hope in their lives is when they suffer some type of failure. In the short time that we have together and tomorrow, over these today and tomorrow's program, I'm going to kind of share why that you will hopefully have a different perception of the word failure. Because as I look at my own life and a lot of friends and family members, one of the things that keeps us from having hope is when we fail. And best-selling author John Maxwell in his book, Failing Forward, said, "The difference between average people and achieving people is their perception and their response to failure." I think we all can agree today, everybody that's listening to this, whether live on the radio or on the podcast, that we've all failed at something, yet some of us make it our tombstone and never move forward with our lives. Sure, they are there physically, you know, you're there, and maybe mentally, but mentally and emotionally, you're kind of stuck from a failure several years ago. I mean, you show up physically in your marriage and at your job and at church, but really mentally, emotionally, you're still stuck from a failure that occurred in your life several years ago. And you know what? You may have not had total choice with that so-called failure, a failed marriage. Maybe it didn't work out, and you know, hey, you wanted it to and it didn't, but there just came a point where it didn't. And you've been carrying that burden around. Maybe it's a failed business venture. Maybe it's a failed friendship. Maybe it's failure with a child and they've gone on to be with Jesus and you felt like you failed as a parent. And yet God's grace is enough to cover all those things. And unfortunately, Jesus warned us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I love in the next breath, Jesus said, "But I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full." So I want to ask you today, why do we let failure steal our hopes and dreams? Why have you let failure steal your hope and dreams? I'm going to share four reasons today that I've seen doing ministry now for over 16 years, both full-time and bivocationally. And then tomorrow I'll share four ways that we can fail forward, that we can get our hope back when we've had a failure in our lives. So I'm going to share with you four things. And I think the first reason why we can't move forward in our lives after failure and when we lose hope is, I'm going to spell out the word fail, F-A-I-L. I'm a simple guy. I like to keep it on the lower shelf so I can understand it. So maybe you can remember this as you're driving, if you're listening to this. Letter F, I think the first reason we can't move forward is that we think failure means final. We make one mistake or we failed at something. We think, man, I'll never recover from this. We look at many others that got stuck and never moved forward because of a failure, and we assume, yep, that's going to be me too. And we start singing that old Heath Haw song, "Gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it were for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me." Ouch. I know that sounds like a barking dog or some animal got its foot caught in a trap or something, but you get the point. And those of you that are younger, you may have to Google that. Hee-haw, gloom and despair and agony on me. But, man, I've seen a lot of people live in that, singing that song. And just, and they're followers of Jesus. Their salvation's good. They're going to heaven. But they let a failure in their life set up camp there. It's okay to grieve and that hurt. But some of you, you've been putting wood on the fire, and it's been 10 years ago, and you're still living there because you think it's final. And friends, I got news for you today. Jesus died for more than that, okay? Jesus died for more than that. If he can't overcome some failure, some mistake you've made, or somebody else's selfish decision that they made that impacted you, then this whole thing, being a follower of Jesus, is a fraud. So I think the first reason people can't fail forward and get hope back again when they have a failure in their life, whether it's their personal sin or somebody else's, is they think it's final. The second thing that keeps people from moving forward after failure in their life is the appearance of it. The appearance of it. Oh, everyone will know that I used to think this, that everybody will know I'm a divorced, bankrupt, homeless guy that is starting to lose his hair. Well, actually, fact of the matter was, I was starting to lose my hair. You know, some things are facts, all right? But, you know, it wasn't a failure on my part. What anything I could do? But you know what? The fact of the matter is that I think the reason we're so worried about appearance is because of pride. I know that's been an issue for me. And now I kid people say, I'm just a short, fat, sexy, bald guy that loves Jesus. People say, oh, you shouldn't call yourself fat. And I say, well, you know, that's my fault. And I'm working on that actually now as we speak. But I accepted how God made me. And the appearance, yeah, I've been through a couple of divorces and I've had to file bankruptcy. And yet God's restored what the locusts have eaten. He's been really, really good to me. But I used to walk around a lot of shame, and I was sexually violated once as a child. And I walked around that with shame for about 10 years. And then finally in college, I went and saw a Christian counselor and everything was fine. And, you know, the appearance of things sometimes are not what we think they are. And I got a little news flash for you today. A lot of times pride, we're worried about what other people think, and we think everyone knows we have a failure in our life. But here's what I know in my 54 years of life, that people are so busy with their own lives, they aren't even worried about yours. Now, the enemy may be lying to you like, oh, everybody knows that you've been through a divorce or bankruptcy or that you were sexually violated as a child or you've only got $3 in the bank or you know what? The list goes on and on of lies that Satan does. But here's what I know. Most people are so busy with their own lives, they aren't even worried about what's going on in yours. So they're not thinking what you're thinking. And even better news is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 tells us God doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So I want to ask you today, how's your heart? How's that doing? Are you honoring with God and letting him bless you, your mind, heart, and soul? All right, we've looked at two things so far that I think keep people from failing forward, from having hope after failure. First one is we think failure is final. The second one is the letter A, we worry about appearance or pride. The letter I is the third thing. I think we internalize our failure and we get in fear. And friends, I got news for you today. Fear is not from God. In fact, did you know that 80% of the things that you get in fear about, they actually never even happen? Yes, 20% of things do. And I've seen research, some say a little more, a little less, but on average it's about 80%. So 8 out of 10 things that you worry about don't even happen. And best definition I heard of this one time is the letter fear, the word fear, if you spell it out, F-E-A-R, fear stands for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Friends, fear is not from God, and that can keep us from having hope after a personal failure in our lives. And we know fear didn't come from God because 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So fear did not come from God. I mean, you can't be much clearer than that in 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Maybe that's your verse for this week. You write that on a post-it note and you put it in places where you'll see it, and that's your memory verse. I mean, all of us should be memorizing one Bible verse a day. We don't fight against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us, but against spirits and principalities. And we fight it with God's word. It's our sword. In 2 Timothy 1:7, I believe, is a verse for somebody listening today, whether live on the radio or through one of our podcasts. Let's look at the letter L, the last and final thing that I think that keeps us from having hope, and we let failure just steal our hopes and dreams. I want to review real quickly. F, we think it's final. A, we assume the worst, which usually is because we're worried about appearance and pride involved. Letter I, we internalize it and we get in fear, which we know is not of God. And the fourth and final reason that I think that keeps us from having hope after a failure in our life, the letter L, is we limit God. We limit God, or more simply, we just put God in a box sometimes. I mean, I know that we celebrate Easter every year, but we were so thankful that Jesus conquered death, and we know now that we will never be separated from God if we establish and receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior and establish that personal relationship with Him. But I have to admit, I've been guilty of this. We may celebrate that usually early April, sometimes late March. I love it much better when it's in March. I think April with Easter, but it does vary sometimes the Sunday we have it. But, you know, here's what I know is that I've been guilty later on come May, June. I forget about that, and I get in fear, and I put God in this box and just say, you know, Lord, I got this situation going on, and it might just be too big for you to handle. Some of you are laughing because you've done the same thing. Some of you think, oh, Greg, you man of little faith. Yet, you know what? Every one of us has done that. You've done that too. We have something, and the enemy's just having a field day with our minds and our hearts because he makes us think that God's like, oh, that's just too big for God. He can't handle that. But it's so good that the Bible, we can always go to that for our resource of hope and strength. And Job started asking God some questions about when he started going through all the storms and failures in his life. And chapter 20 or 38 of Job, verse 4, God says to Job after listening to him with some of his questions, and it's okay to ask God a question, but Job is asking questions, doing a little bit of whining. And so after listening patiently, God finally said to Job in chapter 38, verse 4, God says to Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? I mean, the very one that gave you breath today and decides you could have another day of life here on this earth. And I want to say that to you, whatever you've got, and you're like, God, I don't know why you allowed this to happen. And, you know, the fact of the matter is God gives us free will. And sometimes people make bad decisions. They make selfish decisions and they affect us. And we've all done it. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 says, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor his ear too deaf to hear you call. And I know, like me, a lot of you have been, but man, I've been asking God to help me with this situation for a long time, Greg, and it just doesn't seem like I'm getting an answer. Well, I have to go back to that verse that Paul said that he asked the Lord to remove something in his life that was just tormenting him. And he said, God didn't answer him. In fact, he said, I went back a second time. And then he said, I went back three times, Lord, begged him to take this from me. And yet the Lord didn't. He said, my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. And friends, it's basically saying that God's enough and he can get you through whatever you're dealing with. So I hope today that was encouragement to you about realizing some things that maybe have stolen your hope from some failures in your life. But I hope you'll tune in tomorrow because we're going to look at four ways that if you want to really fail forward and have hope again, then I'm going to give you four ways that you can do that and get freedom and have hope in your one only life. Join me tomorrow. I'm Greg Horn on Hope Is Here.